I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
All right, here we go. It is time for Fast Track, and it is brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. Got a car that's just sitting around not being used? Bring it on to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. All right, John, let's see. One side of the coin, in the end, Aaron Rodgers gets traded. On the other side of the coin, the Packers find a way to keep him. Call it in the air.
So if I think Rodgers plays for the Packers this year, I say tails, right?
Correct.
Tails.
Tails it is.
Tails it
so
is.
So you do think he's going to wind up staying?
One more year and then done.
Interesting.
Yeah,
interesting. All right.
I think that you can't trade somebody when everybody knows you have to trade him. So I think they keep him for 1 year, and then Jordan Love's the quarterback of the Packers a year from now. All right, Mace, I'm going to go first, and no advantage comes with that.
None whatsoever.
All right. It used to be that we, especially you and I, would get really excited for the Kentucky Derby every year.
Yes.
But the Derby is tomorrow, and until I looked it up, I couldn't name one horse in the field. Can you guys name any of the horses running in the Kentucky Derby this year?
I can, but it's kind of not fair because I actually looked because I thought we would bet. So
okay.
I do know something.
But
yummy.
All right, so here's what I want to do. I want to do a dumb thing.
Okay.
All right, I have all of the horses and their post positions, okay? So okay. I have 1 through 20. Everybody's going to get to pick a number. I'm going to assign you a horse, and if that horse wins the Derby, you get his odds in mythical money. Like Mace, for example.
Wait, I thought we were going to do that later.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I thought we were going to bet later, but that's okay. Go ahead.
But this can be separate of that.
Okay,
okay, so Mace, pick a number between 0 and 21.
Give me lucky number 8.
Okay. Your horse, number 8, is, let me see, it's 6, 7, 8. Medina Spirit at 15 to 1. Okay.
Nice.
So if Medina Spirit wins, you get 15K.
So that's a reasonable bet. 15 to 1 is probably like
all right, Lindsay,
threat.
Pick a number between 0 and 21 and don't pick 8.
4.
All right, the number 4 horse in the Kentucky Derby tomorrow is Keep Me In Mind, 50 to 1, Lindsay.
Wow.
50 to 1. If Keep Me In Mind hits, you get 50 grand in mythical money. All right, Jorge, pick one. 0 and 21, don't pick 4 or 8.
Let's go 18.
Oh, going to the back of the pack.
Whoa.
All right. 18 is Super Stock, 30 to 1. So you get 30 to 1 odds if you hit it. Michael, pick a number between 0 and 21.
0 and 21. I hope I get Tyson's Fury's horse, so I'll go number 9.
Number 9. The number 9 horse is Hot Rod Charlie.
Woo!
Trained by Doug O'Neill. And he's 8 to 1.
Oh, I'm winning.
Oh,
yeah. You
yes.
could do very well then.
Nice.
Good odds.
All right, hey, Mace, since I can't pick my own number, just pick me a number.
Okay, you are number 13.
All right, unlucky number 13 you're trying to saddle me with.
Correct.
Hidden Stash, 50 to 1. I
that
like
is
it.
That is a horse after my own heart. I
all right,
have
51.
A hidden stash
now
myself.
Now we all have a reason to root in the Kentucky Derby. It's to you.
Excellent. All right. Entourage creator Doug Ellen is upset with HBO and the rest of the world. He says that HBO has buried Entourage on HBO Max because the show is not in step with the era of the Me Too movement. He says, quote, "I resent it tremendously because I don't think Entourage was the vulgar boy fest that people like to paint it as now. When we came out, the New York Times said we were the smartest show on television. And then all of a sudden, this wave of righteous PC culture. And again, you're talking to a liberal who wants equality for all and wants everybody to be kinder and gentler. Most people know Entourage was a very realistic portrayal of what Hollywood was like at that time. Now, Entourage aired from 2004 to 2011. There's definitely some of that, what they would call toxic bro culture at work. But does Ellen have a point? Should HBO feature Entourage on its streaming service?
I stop on Entourage whenever I come across it. I thought it was a great show. I actually even enjoyed the Entourage movie, which didn't make a lot of money.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever missed an episode of Entourage.
Yeah, me either. Me either.
When it was on, I thought there were some unbelievable characters on that show. I thought Jeremy Piven as Ari was fantastic.
Yep.
I thought Lloyd, his assistant, you know, like the way Ari used to beat up Lloyd.
Correct.
You couldn't get away with that in 2021. But
correct.
At the end of the day, Ari really loved Lloyd and always took care of him. You know, I've always said, by the way, the Entourage was never a show about Vince. It was a show about E. It was a show about Kevin Connolly and Eric and the people around him. It was about
a show about friendship. It was a show about loyalty.
Right. It was about it was about the Entourage more than it was about the star. I thought it was fascinating, and I agree with what you said in the beginning. I thought it was a pretty accurate portrayal of what goes on in Hollywood. That was basically about Mark Wahlberg.
Right.
And all the people he hung out with
growing
up. And
can't we split the difference here? I mean, I understand there's stuff that by today's standards, by 2021 standards, may be inappropriate. The show went off the air 2011. But can't we just say this is what Hollywood was like in 2004? Put that disclaimer on the front of it.
Because really,
that is
really,
what Hollywood was like.
Really good point. And by the way, if you liked Entourage, I've gotten to know Conley a little bit. I play golf with him. And he has started a podcast network. Doug Ellen is a part of this podcast.
Oh,
in which they go back and go over all the stuff they did on Entourage.
Yep.
So if you're an Entourage fan, find that. Just Google Kevin Connolly podcast and it'll come up. And they basically do an Entourage podcast talking about what it was like to make those shows and what those years were like. And I haven't dove deep. I've listened to bits and pieces, but haven't dove deep into it. It's really good if you're an Entourage fan. So if you're an Entourage fan, check that out.
All right, it's to you.
All right, Lindsay's favorite podcaster, Joe Rogan, is in the news again. In last Friday's episode of the Joe Rogan Experience, which is on Spotify, Rogan encouraged healthy young people to not get a COVID-19 vaccine.
Shh.
He said, quote, "If you're like 21 years old and you say to me, should I get vaccinated? I'll go no." Rogan commented that he believes vaccines are safe and that people at risk should be vaccinated, noting both of his parents have received COVID-19 shots. But he also said, quote, "If you're a healthy person and you're exercising all the time and you're young and you're eating well, like, I don't think you need to worry about this," end quote. He's since gone, walked that back a little and gone back and apologized. But here's my question.
Yeah.
Spotify's taken down 42 episodes of Rogan's podcast, including one with Alex Jones, because the company says he's spreading misinformation. This is possibly misinformation about the coronavirus. If you ran Spotify, would you take last Friday's show off of the site or leave it up?
It's a really good question. Joe Rogan is finding out what it's like to deal with a gigantic corporation like Spotify.
Right. And again, in his defense, he came out this week. Lindsay, I don't know if
and apologized.
If you followed all this, but he walked it back, didn't he? In the last couple of days?
Yeah,
are you up to speed
said,
on your Rogan
yes.
podcast?
He said it was stupid and he shouldn't have said that and he felt bad about it and he totally apologized.
He said, "I why would anybody listen to me?"
Exactly. Well, how stupid do you have to be to listen to Joe Rogan about medical advice?
He always prefaces things by saying, like, "Now, I'm not a doctor,
right.
so don't listen."
Right,
to me.
Exactly.
So wait a minute. Lindsay, if he has come out and said, "I shouldn't have said it," then wouldn't even he be understanding of them taking the podcast down from last Friday?
I'm sure he would, but I think if they thought it was that big of a deal,
right now it's still
it
up.
By now,
it's
right
still
now
up.
It's still up.
Yeah,
I bet you it stays up because he's walked it back and apologized.
You guys are
I
younger
so
than
too.
Me, especially Lindsay and George. Do you guys know any people in your age group who's stupid enough to take medical advice from Joe Rogan? Come on,
I do.
Not me.
You do, Lindsay?
A lot of people.
I mean,
I take
a lot of vitamins that he takes. Like I started. He talked about how he started taking vitamin D because there's back when COVID started, like stuff like that. Like nothing.
But when it comes to diseases, you're gonna listen to him.
if you listen to the beginning of his show, Michael, there's like 5 minutes of commercials, and a lot of those are supplements.
Right. That's fine.
Try
you can take your supplement.
Try that supplement. This will do this. That'll do that.
But when it comes to a deadly disease, you're going to take his advice?
No.
Come on. There you
no
go.
Way.
No. I don't think – I think most people that listen to him probably understand that. Like, he always says, I'm just a guy talking about stuff. Don't listen to me.
Right.
Right.
All right, Mace, it's to you.
All right. Philosophical question. Do you believe the world will be a better or worse place 100 years from now?
Oh, much better, because technology, medical advances, people are going to probably live longer.
Well, and piggybacking on what Michael said, and I agree with Michael, Mace, think back to 100 years ago.
Right.
Think back to 1921.
Right.
We barely had cars.
I don't think we had phones. Or no, we might have been
you had phones. You had phones, but you didn't have color television. You didn't
right.
have air travel. Just think of all of the advances over the past 100 years. If Michael Thompson came along in 1921, he probably wouldn't have been able to be a professional athlete because he's
right.
black.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's of course the world's going to be a better place. Now, there's going to be new challenges. And technology can get a little bit out of control, but almost always in history, if you look at 100-year spans, the advancements in everything make the world a much better place.
Now, you're assuming that the advancements are going to be healthy for the rest of us. Meanwhile, you yeah. say, I don't want to be in a driverless car.
No.
I don't want to have
no,
robot
I don't
dogs.
Say well, I don't want to be
have
in a,
these things.
I don't want to be in a driverless car. I want you to get in one first.
Right, but you're afraid of the technology. It's only going to get more and more sophisticated. See, I think...
But you said you won't get in a pilotless plane?
I think the world is on its way to the toilet. I really do.
Right,
I think this technology is going to kick our ass. I think AI is going to screw us over in some way.
Right. But you know, there's no consistency in your positions. Like Michael said, you can't wait to get in a driverless car, but you won't get in a driverless plane.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Oh, if it's safe, I'd get in a driverless plane.
Oh, yeah, right.
I would. I'd totally get in. I mean, it comforts me to see that guy in a uniform with that hat and all that stuff. It seems like he really knows what he's doing. It's very official. I would.
Why are you so pessimistic, Mace?
Just because I think it's getting worse.
Because the world's
going
to hell in a handbasket, Michael.
It's going to hell in the handbasket.
Well, that's if we get more Cardi B videos, yeah.
Oh, no. Cardi B is one of the positive developments we've had in the last
Yeah, 100 years from now, she'd be looked at as Mother Teresa, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. The way we're going. All right, there is your fast track for today. Coming up next for you. Oh, I didn't give you my biggest regret.
What is
and
it?
We didn't hear Lindsay have a personal regret. We got that. Plus, how far would you go to dump somebody? To what lengths would you go to dump somebody? That is coming up next for you.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Day two, and the Rams get their first choice at number 57 unless they trade back. We saw a bunch of quarterbacks go in the first round yesterday, and who knows? I think it's just spin the wheel. I feel comfortable with Trevor Lawrence, but the rest of them, who knows? It's a jump ball whether they will be real or whether they will be bust.
You know who I liked, and I was very surprised because I think this team's been making all the wrong decisions lately.
What?
I really like what the Eagles did.
Yeah, the Eagles, I do like what they did too.
You know, they traded
right.
up. Well, they traded up to get Devontae Smith.
Mm-hmm.
I think Devontae Smith is going to be a really good player.
I don't understand the Broncos. They need a quarterback, and they didn't draft Justin Fields. I don't get it.
There may be what if they're trading for Aaron Rodgers?
Ooh,
that's a prime Aaron Rodgers destination.
Yeah.
They really don't have a settled quarterback situation.
Well, they signed Teddy or traded for Teddy Bridgewater.
But
good.
I think he's sort of a backup at this point. Don't mm-hmm. you?
Yeah,
he's not a franchise quarterback.
No,
I think
not a franchise.
Teddy Bridgewater's just a guy. They played Drew Locke all last year. He wasn't very good, but it's funny. Juan's dad is a big Broncos fan. He's actually really high on Drew Locke and says he thinks he's going to be something. It is early to write a player off, but if you've got a spot like that with an unsettled quarterback situation, where else could Aaron Rodgers go? So Denver. I think Denver is a possibility because of their quarterback situation. Who else?
One quarterback away is Denver, huh?
Well, after yesterday, that's a different question today than it was just if you had asked it at this time yesterday.
Correct. Because San Francisco had a wide-open, glaring hole at quarterback.
Well,
until
so did the Jets.
So did the Jets, yeah.
What happened to Garoppolo? Is he falling off that much?
Yeah, I think
well,
he's
just
going to be...
Well, the reason they're down on Garoppolo is that they don't think he can stay healthy.
Oh. And if Trey Lance has this...
He's just not all that good.
And if Trey Lance is being compared to Mahomes with this all-around skill and talent and arm talent, how could you bench him for the next year? Why would you play him right away?
Well, maybe they will. You don't know. Mace, the team that I think that if you put Aaron Rodgers on... The team that's good right now...
Yeah.
But if you put him on this team, they would immediately become a top four Super Bowl favorite is New Orleans.
Oh, of course.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
And they're in the same division as Tampa. Can you imagine Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady going head-to-head four times a year?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
You know what people in Green Bay are thinking, or what they've been saying and writing about, is that Shailene Woodley, the actress that is now engaged to Aaron Rodgers,
right,
is Yoko Ono.
Man, that's not fair.
She is breaking up the relationship between Green Bay.
Speaking of breaking up, what were you talking about when you said
This is a great one. Okay. So this is a killer story. So, you know, it's hard to break up with somebody, right? You want to be gentle and you want to be kind about it and you want to make sure you're not badly hurting somebody's feelings and all that stuff. So a girl on TikTok shared a wild story that has gone viral about her boyfriend of 2 years faking his death so he could ghost her.
Wow.
Think about this. This particular story about someone faking their death involves a woman on TikTok who goes by the handle of blah, 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 and is so good that it has now been viewed by over 2.7 million people. According to this person, she had been dating her boyfriend for over 2 years and was all set to marry him and have his babies. Seeing a golden opportunity to escape, Catherine's boyfriend informed her that he believed he had been infected and was heading to the hospital. Unfortunately for Catherine, he later told her he was feeling better. That was the last thing. Then all of a sudden, he stopped returning the calls, and he had someone call her to say he died.
I probably shouldn't laugh at this, right?
Badly this guy wanted out of this relationship with this girl. I am out of here. I've died. Don't come after me. Stop texting me. In a lot of ways, it is easier to break up with someone by faking a death.
I would be afraid to test the fates and karma.
Would you?
Yeah, because something might happen to him now. He might really die.
Yeah, true. He could. It could be a jinx.
Yeah,
it
exactly.
A jinx.
It is an incredibly morbid, club to play there.
It's sick.
Well, I would like to know how she found out that he wasn't really dead.
She must have seen him, or somebody
He started tweeting again.
Yeah,
started
Didn't he think that through? You know, but I guess maybe he realized. Well, you know, if she realizes I'm not really dead, maybe she'll get the point because I made up the whole lie to get rid of her.
I wanted to get rid of her so bad I faked my own death. I had one who, John, you met. And what's weird is I don't even remember this guy's name. I have no idea this guy's name anymore. But we went to the Annie Lennox Sting concert.
Yeah, I remember that guy.
And that guy was with me. And he turned into a crazy, creepy stalker. And here's how bad it was. Now, when I was working on the theaters out in Palm Springs, I was working on them a lot, building them and operating them. And so I would stay at, and you, John, you wouldn't understand this. I would stay at Motel 6 because it was on the company, and I just
beneath Michael and I's level of acceptable hotel.
It absolutely is, but I was trying to save money for the company.
Can you imagine the stains on those sheets?
So there were six Motel 6s in the Coachella Valley.
Okay,
and I would have to change. I would have to go to a different one each time.
Because he knew that was your preference. And
he knew I was a Motel 6 guy. So he would go Motel 6 to Motel 6 trying to find me. And ultimately, I changed my name with the desk. But that was a nightmarish situation. I don't know how I shook that guy, but ultimately I did.
Michael, when you were playing, did you ever use an alias so fans couldn't just find you at the hotel?
Oh, no, it's nothing like how it is now. Back when I played in the Stone Ages, nobody cared about stalking us, and we didn't have social media. People weren't the camera phones following us, so it's way easier 30, 40 years ago.
So the Lakers, especially at the height of their heyday, were, you know, like fans would show up all over trying to get to them. And, you know, when you go on a trip with a basketball team, sometimes they'll give you a room list. And so, you know, you don't have to call the front desk. If I say, call the front desk and say, give me Michael Thompson, if I have a room list, I don't have to. I can just dial Michael's room. So I got to looking at the room lists over the years, and I realized that most of the names on our room list didn't match the names of our players.
Sure.
So one day I asked Kobe, I said, does anybody use their actual name? And Kobe said, some guys do. He said, most don't. He said, but if you know the guys on your team, you can always figure it out. Like, Kobe's alias on the road was Walter Elias.
Why?
That's his grandfather.
Oh. Okay.
So anybody who knew him. Shaq's alias on the road was Enrico Gates. You know why?
Uh-uh.
Because Shaq had sponsorship deals with Pepsi and Microsoft, and the chairman of Pepsi was Roger Enrico, and the chairman of Microsoft was Bill Gates. So if his teammates saw Enrico Gates, they would know it's Shaq.
Yeah.
You know, so they all have, and this still goes on, they all have aliases.
Codes.
But you have to know how to decipher the code.
Yeah,
Michael, if you had to have an, by the way, a lot of people asking, you can reach the show a bunch of different ways, 877-710-ESPN. The email, and I guess people are asking for it, is venicemace@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
John, Michael, if you had to take an alias, what would it be?
Oh, it'd be something to do with my island roots. So I'd probably use one of my favorite dishes, cracked conch.
Cracked conch.
It's basically deep fried conch. Oh, it's so good.
That doesn't sound like a real name, though.
Well, you know, you could use anything.
You can use anything.
You can use anything.
You know what, Michael? You know what I would have used if I were you, and your teammates would have known, but nobody else would have.
What's that?
Don't say why. I'll see if Mason. Mason, if Michael was under the alias Richard Petty, would you know why, the significance of that?
No.
Because Michael wore number 43 because that was Richard Petty's stock car number, and when Michael used to watch stock car races when he was a kid, he always used to root for number 43.
That's right.
So that if your alias, Mike, was Richard Petty, I would know it was you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a good one. I like that. I didn't think of that. I could have used that one.
Ireland, do you ever use an alias?
Yeah, because so many people are trying to get a hold of me.
Well, you
got to remember,
sometimes,
too, Mace, back when we played with Showtime era, we didn't have any security around us.
John, don't some play-by-play announcers play around?
Well, I mean, like, the ones that aren't married, yeah, like, you know.
What
Billy,
about the ones that are married, though? Is the 100-mile rule in effect?
That's a good question. I don't know. Probably not our guys, Michael. I don't think.
No, not our guys. We're always together.
And plus, Bill, we all live vicariously through Billy.
Yeah, exactly.
He's dating half the city wherever we go.
That's
so
right.
It's like, who needs an alias? You just call Billy. What are you doing tonight?
I just got this email from
Billy.
Raul.
Billy's alias would be Hugh Hefner.
Yeah.
Hugh Hefner. Raul Rubio writes, Ireland and Michael are really ignorant on the subject. I don't see what the problem is with shaking hands. They're apparently unaware of how viruses work and listen to that BS that gets spewed on TV. You need viruses and bacteria, blah, blah, blah. Viruses need hosts. Hand sanitizer gets rid of all the junk, breaks down our immune system. But he's basically saying it is true that the virus does not spread by touch.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Wait a minute. Colds do.
Yes, they do.
But I mean, but they've tested this.
Maybe not COVID-19, Mace, but you can get the flu.
Oh, yeah. Mace, I have not had the flu in a year and a half because we stopped shaking hands. Explain
plus
that.
I'm wearing masks.
No, because I'm
There's
not shaking
virtually
hands.
Virtually no flu this year. Virtually nobody
and by
got the
way,
flu.
To his point, yeah, if everybody was regularly using sanitizer, there'd be no risk shaking hands. But the problem is most people don't.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So, you know, if someone walks up to you and you haven't put hand sanitizer on in a few hours and they never put it on,
so
there's your cold.
So tell that guy I am living proof that not shaking hands works, because I have not get. I used to get like three colds a year. Easy.
Yeah. And now you're healthy?
I haven't had a flu in a year and a half because we
Good
stopped
for
shaking
you.
Hands.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I think the mask has something to do with it, too. But, yeah, so the shaking hands thing, you're stuck
Mace,
on
have
that.
You ever seen the video that Trudell made about Michael's routine on the road when we go to hotels?
No.
If you watched it now, I'll try and find it and send it to you. But if you watched it now, you would think, oh, Michael's a genius. Except it was from like 5 years ago before COVID. Mm-hmm. Michael was taking precautions that, you know, most people take now, but nobody was taking back then. Like, Mike, you put towels all over the floor, right?
Yep, so I don't want to walk on a dirty carpet.
Oh, for God's sake.
You get rid of the bedspread.
Yeah,
right?
I get the quilt. I get some tongs and lift that off.
Some tongs.
Oh, that thing is nasty.
The first thing Michael does when he gets to a room is cleans the remote.
Yep, because that's the most
The
most
remote is, Michael, I'm in agreement on that.
Yeah. It's the most germ-infested.
We bring a clear bag and put the remote in a clear bag.
Yeah, yes.
Mace, when Michael sits on any hotel furniture, he puts a towel down first.
Sheets.
I
go to the laundry, the housekeeping closet and grab sheets.
Good Lord, Michael.
Man, have you seen the stains on those sofas?
You're friggin' Howard Hughes.
That's right, I am. I'm a Black Hughes. Just call me Black Howard.
Yeah, but he never gets sick.
That's right.
Never gets sick.
Unless I'm shaking hands.
There you go. All right, coming up next, would you be willing to die to do something absolutely glorious? That is the question. Coming up next, Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
No word on who's going to be the opener, but it's going to be a bullpen game. You know, for some reason, with this vaunted rotation, they're already at this point in the season going to a bullpen game. They are scuffling right now. LeBron James could possibly play for the Lakers tonight. He is,
by the way, Mace,
very close to coming back.
Sham Sharania just tweeted that he is playing unless he has a setback in warmups.
Nice.
We're going to see LeBron tonight, and I can't wait. It is such a difference in – you feel it in the atmosphere of the building. And is Michael still there?
Yeah.
Michael, we finally get to see what LeBron, AD, and Drummond look like together.
Yeah, that's the exciting part, to see how Drummond fits in with those two monsters.
Yeah.
Because he's a monster himself.
And, you know, this should be a win tonight. No De'Aaron Fox, no Harrison Barnes for Sacramento.
Definitely
who got their doors blown off in their last game against Utah 2 nights ago. Oh. Did you guys hear about this game?
No.
I'm worried about my guy, Luke Walton. Final score, 154-105. Utah beat Sacramento, 154-105.
Wow.
It was the biggest home loss in Sacramento Kings history. They've lost 12 of their last 15, and they've clinched their 15th straight losing season. You know, in 41 years, guys, the Kings have just had 9 winning seasons. Rick Adelman had 8, and then they fired him. And the only other one they had was back in 1983 under Cotton Fitzsimmons. But that is a moribund franchise. They've been unable.
Moribund. Excellent use of the word moribund.
They have been unable to get anything right. And Michael and I love Luke Walton. He's a great guy, but I don't know how Luke survives this.
Yeah,
I'm putting 1,000 mythical dollars on the Lakers tonight, minus the 8 over Sacramento. And I saw one other one I liked. Washington minus 6.5 over the Cavs. I like that one, too. So two mythical money bets on the NBA tonight. All right, so here's – oh, and by the way, the Rams, second day of the NFL draft. The Rams are drafting at 57. Unless Les Snead trades back, we could see an offensive lineman taking at 57 for the Rams. All right, so, Michael, you're always fascinated by space, right?
Oh, yes.
I am, too. I just – it just is – I get a sense of wonder when I look up at the sky at
exactly.
night. So Elon Musk is determined.
Did you see the moon the other night, boys?
Say again?
Did you see the moon the other night, a few nights ago?
Yeah, apparently it was a super moon.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah. So Elon Musk and SpaceX, they are determined to put people on Mars.
Uh-huh.
And this is what he says about it. Going to Mars reads like that book for Ernest Shackleton, Going to the Antarctic. Shackleton, men wanted for a hazardous journey. He says it's dangerous, it's uncomfortable, it's a long journey. You may not come back alive, but it's a glorious adventure, and it'll be an amazing experience. He says you probably won't have good food, all those things. It's an arduous and dangerous journey where you may not come back alive, but it's a glorious adventure. Michael, would you be in on this glorious adventure going to Mars, even if you might not survive it?
Not for a second. It's not worth it. Why would you leave this beautiful planet to go to a dusty, dry, radiation-filled planet? You can't go outside. You can't breathe fresh air. Are you crazy? I don't see what the appeal is of that.
Wait a minute. I am so with Michael on this, Mason. You would actually consider signing up for this?
Oh, I would 100% go.
Why? And do what? What are you going to do when you get up there? Stay inside the rest of your boring, miserable days?
Michael, to set foot on another planet.
Go to the moon. You
can
be back in 2 weeks.
Idea to me.
Go to the moon. You can be back in 2 weeks.
Nobody's going to the moon. Mars is the new moon.
Been there, done that to the moon, huh?
Yeah, done that. We've already been there. We saw a guy hit a golf ball on there.
I don't understand. I understand people are lining up to go, but I don't understand the appeal. Okay, you go to Mars. It's rusty. Everything's orange. You look up. The sky's pink. Earth looks like a little dot you can barely see.
Oh, can you imagine how cool that is? Can you imagine, by the way, and I'm assuming we'll have Wi-Fi up there when I get there.
Everything, but Mace, everything takes 20 minutes. You can download your Wi-Fi, but you got to wait 20 minutes for it to reach you. You realize that? Things don't pop up immediately. You realize things slow down.
I don't know. Elon Musk is pretty smart. I just think I'm going to be looking at the internet and social media.
No, you can't, because nothing travels faster than the speed of light.
You'll be able to IG me at Venice Mace. I'll be on
you
Instagram.
You will not be able to use IG on Mars.
Pictures from Mars. It'll be unbelievable.
But you got to be patient. You got to be willing to wait.
I'll be an influencer.
Well, and by the way, Mace, think about it. Think about if you're an NBA player and you're on Mars, you'd be checking out all those Instagram models, and you could never connect with them because they were millions of miles away.
Right.
That is true.
Yeah.
No, I'm all in for a Mars adventure. I always have been.
Aren't you?
I'm all in for going to the space shuttle or the space station. I'm all in for all that stuff.
So you would be happy with living indoors the rest of your life?
I would be happy having a glorious adventure and being one of the first people to set foot on Mars. Yes.
I would. I would pay money to not have to go.
Yeah, it's not worth it. Plus,
it
takes 9 months to get there.
Totally worth it.
You're going to be eaten out of a can.
Yeah, he does say the food's not going to be good.
So you're going to give up steaks? What about wine? You're going to give up all that?
No Camus on Mars.
Yeah.
Some of that stuff will make the trip.
How? In a box? Box of wine?
Box of wine, exactly.
The Dave Singer box of wine.
Yeah. I know people, like I say, thousands, hundreds of thousands of people are volunteering to go, but I love space, and I think space travel's fascinating, but I don't understand the appeal of leaving this Earth to go live in that desert.
Agree to disagree. I want the glorious adventure.
Put up a poll. See how many people will be willing to go.
Okay, I'll pull up.
Give up your
poll.
Life on Earth to go live on Mars.
All right, before we get to Radio Tinder, I wanted to do this little thing. So I've got a list of the NFL players who sold the most merch in 2020, the most merchandise in 2020. And there are some interesting and surprising names on this list. I want to see you, three strikes and you're out. I want to see if you can get the 10 guys in the NFL who sold the most merch in 2020.
Okay, Michael, we can do this.
Yeah.
One of them has to be Tom Brady.
Brady is number one, yes.
Yeah, because
change teams.
Yeah,
big when you change teams.
Okay, Michael, who else changed teams that were – now, is this after the Super Bowl, Mace?
It runs through the Super Bowl. So through the end of the football season. And by the way, I don't want to mislead you. There's nobody else on the list that changed teams.
Okay.
Tom Brady was –
Mahomes.
Yeah, Mahomes got to be on the list.
Yeah, Mahomes is number two. Yeah, that's an obvious one.
Okay. I'm trying to think of other – for example, guys, Aaron Donald's a great player. I don't think he's in the top 10 jerseys sold. Michael, would you agree with that?
Well, I don't know. He's so popular, playing on a big market.
Let me jump you and say he's not.
All right. How about my boy? Lamar's got to be on that list.
Your boy, as you call him, Lamar Jackson is number three.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you've got one, two, and three, Brady, Mahomes, Lamar.
What about Baker?
No, Baker. We don't want Baker.
I don't know. He's pretty popular.
No, he's not.
He's got all those commercials.
He plays in Cleveland.
I disagree.
I'm holding off on that. All right. I think it's got to be somebody that, well, first of all, Russell Wilson's got to be there, right?
Yeah, Russell Wilson is number 7. Yeah.
Okay.
And the other one is obvious, franchise quarterback.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, is it Aaron or is it Drew Brees?
Yeah, it's Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers.
So all right, now, Michael, here's a couple more. How many strikes do we have? One?
No, we got none yet.
None.
None yet.
Michael, what about Tua?
Nah, I mean, he came out of Alabama, but no, but he's not. He hasn't done.
But he plays in Miami. Yeah, he wears number 1.
I wouldn't go with him. Not yet.
Okay, and you said, Mace, you said no one else changed teams, so that means Cam Newton's not one of them.
Correct.
My boy, my other boy got to be on, even though he's in trouble, Deshaun Watson.
No, I don't think he would.
He's pretty big.
Hey, what about Josh Allen?
In
Josh
Buffalo?
Allen, number 9.
Okay.
Number 9. So you're missing number 4, number 6, number 8, and number 10. You've actually already named one of them.
Deshaun. I'll stick with him.
Deshaun is your first strike.
Wow. What in the world? Stop making all right. Michael, somebody from the Cowboys has got to be on that list.
You think it's got to be Dak if it's a Cowboy?
Well, here's Dak didn't play last year.
True, but his jersey stuff was allowed.
Stay with me here. The number 88 is a big deal in Dallas because Michael Irvin wore it, Dez Bryant wore it, and now CeeDee Lamb wears it. Am I reaching saying CeeDee Lamb?
Yeah, I mean, he didn't do nothing.
Okay.
Even though it's a popular number. You know, you got to do something on the field.
All right, we said
all right, guys, let's expedite
all right,
this.
All right, the one we okay, Mace,
an hour
Mace.
On this.
Yeah, Mace, the one we mentioned that is Tua. Tua's got to be there.
Tua's number 4. Yes, yeah, so it goes Brady, Mahomes, Lamar, Tua, and Aaron Rodgers. Those are your top 5. Now, there is another young quarterback on there that would be tough to get.
And it's not Josh Allen?
Yeah, think AFC Central. I think
Joe Burrow?
Joe Burrow is number 6, wow. Yes.
What about my other boy in Carolina, McCaffrey?
No.
No?
No. Are there any other quarterbacks?
No other quarterbacks.
Okay, how about – oh, man, this is hard.
You're on the right track with the Cowboys.
Dak?
But it's not CeeDee Lamb.
It's got to be Dak, then.
Who would it be?
It's got to be Dak. It only could be Dak.
Zeke? All right, we'll try Dak Prescott.
Well, on the Cowboys, it's not Dak.
It's not CeeDee Lamb, is it?
No.
Okay.
You have 2 strikes.
Oh, okay. We only got 1 more guess.
How many players we got left?
2 left. Number 8 and number 10.
We did pretty well.
Yeah, did really well.
My boy Josh Jacobs isn't there, is he?
No, he's not.
Okay.
Think tight end.
George Kittle.
George Kittle is number 8. Yeah.
Wow. I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Oh, George Kittle.
The cowboy that you were missing all along is Ezekiel Elliott.
Still?
Zeke. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, number 10.
I knew there had to be a cowboy on there somewhere.
Number 10.
Yeah, we did okay.
You did all right. You got most of them. Most of them. All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Michael Thompson's going to play along. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, here we go. It is Radio Tinder time. Linz, what do you got?
All right, I hope, Michael, that you stuck around for this one.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know you're a big WWE fan. All right, so. Yes,
your segments are the best.
Former WWE star Mickie James has accused the company of being ageist and sexist following her release earlier this month. The 41-year-old who won 6 world titles during her time in WWE was one of the 9 wrestlers axed due to budget cuts. Now, James has spoken out against WWE for constantly presenting her as being old after she returned in 2016, and she stated that male wrestlers of the same age or older are glorified. She said in a podcast yesterday, quote, "To constantly be presented as old when I'm 41 and every single male champion has always been my same age or older and has been glorified for those reasons, as they should be because they're amazing. But why is it different for women? Or why is it different for me? Ageism is a real thing, and I think it's BS." Should the female aging WWE superstars be held in the same high regard as the men? Swipe left or swipe right.
100%. This is actually, it's not just ageism, it's sexism. You know, there is a double standard for men and women. And, you know, I think that women tend to get overlooked once they turn 40, once they turn 45, that kind of thing. It's completely unfair. It happens in show business with actresses all the time where they disappear all of a sudden at the age of 45. It's really unfair. She should be treated exactly the same as the other wrestlers in her age group, and she should not be made fun of because she is quote-unquote old.
She's an old hag.
Oh, come on,
no,
Michael.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. She's right, Lindsay. And she
cause... Although, wait a minute. Let's have a moment of honesty. What, isn't this like Honesty Day or something, Mason?
Yeah, it's National Honesty Day.
What okay. do you mean, Mace? Ireland, you don't think she has a point?
Of course she has a point, but here's reality. Look at TV news in yeah, any city.
That's
or
true.
As Mace points out, look at the movies. Where are the roles for the 41-year-old women?
But aren't yep. they? Wait a minute. They're out there, aren't they?
No.
Frances, what's her name? She just won an Oscar, right? A Nomadland or whatever?
Right. But
yeah.
she's the exception to the rule. I mean,
Meryl
if you
Streep?
Turn on any
Meryl
newscast. Streep.
Yeah, there are
mom,
some older.
Yeah.
You know what's weird, Michael? It's like you get to a certain, women get to a certain age. And by the way, this is completely unfair. Actresses get to a certain age, like let's say it's 45, and they disappear for a while. And all of a sudden they come back at the age of 65, and all of a sudden they're great again. Mm. Meryl Streep is an outlier. Frances McDormand is an outlier. Glenn Close is an outlier. I think for the most part, women are really treated unfairly by Hollywood, and it sounds like this WWE wrestler is also being treated unfairly.
Yes,
right,
she is.
And WWE in a lot of ways is Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know.
Sure,
so,
but
I mean,
I don't think that you can. I mean, think about it. When like Edge and
yeah.
you know, Christian, or like say Stone Cold, or any of these
Randy
older
Orton,
guys.
Randy Orton's
yeah.
in his 40s.
And Randy Orton's still wrestling pretty
right.
much every day.
Yep.
But if any of these older guys who've been away from the company for a while and came back like she did, it's like everybody's like, "Oh my God, this is amazing!"
Right.
It's all nostalgia, and they make it a main storyline. But you know, someone like Mickie James comes back, and mm-hmm. like she was a big deal back in like the early 2000s.
Yeah,
you know, 3-time women's champ, and then she comes back, and they literally make fun of her character. So I feel like it's different than newscasting because there is a little bit different like athletic ability and skill involved, and so doesn't that count for something? I mean, I
yeah.
guess not.
Yeah, she's got a great point. I hope she takes him to court and wins.
Yeah.
Yeah, when she got fired, I guess they took all her costumes and everything that they had on tour with them, and they sent them to her in a garbage bag.
What? Oh,
what?
That's ridiculous.
Oh, that's
so disrespectful.
Terrible.
She's a great.
Yeah.
She was a great performer.
Yeah, she
all
tweeted
right.
about it, and they had apologized, but you know.
All right, what's
yeah.
next?
All right, so the draft is always a very drawn-out production, and of course, this year it's been no different. After one night, plenty of fans and media watching on TV yesterday were not happy that the actual picks took so long to get underway, especially the part where the band Kings of Leon performed, I think it was 2 whole songs during this long, drawn-out process.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from the delay in the picks, people were also confused as to why a band whose popularity peaked, you know, over a decade ago was chosen for this event. I'm a big fan of Kings of Leon myself, and even I didn't even see, like, a fit for draft night. Also, why did they choose 70-year-old Ann Wilson to sing the national anthem?
Which, that is
I'm
weird.
Sorry, but she butchered it. It was terrible.
Is Ann the blonde or the brunette?
No. She's the brunette.
The brunette, oh.
Am I being a hater, or were the pre-draft festivities just, like, poorly thought out?
That is a weird choice to sing the national anthem. I mean, of all the people
like,
in the
what,
world
the
you could get.
What's the connection? Yeah, what's the connection?
You get sort of the backup singer from Heart.
Yeah, why I don't get it. And why Kings of Leon? Like, they were a popular band, you know, 12 years ago. Why Kings of Leon? Weren't the Black Keys
yeah,
from Cleveland available?
Yeah, why weren't better bands available to them? That's a really good question.
Machine Gun Kelly from Cleveland available, or Kid Cudi available? I don't get it. Was
yeah.
it? Did you guys think it was that bad?
I like Kings of Leon. I thought they were
I
fine.
Do, too. I love Kings of Leon.
But if you
think
about this gigantic,
choice.
Spectacular event yeah. that is on almost every network or bunches of networks, including to everything on ESPN, you would think you would be able to present somebody that is a really, really big act, not Kings of Leon, who sort of are past their day.
Yeah, or somebody who has, like, ties to Cleveland, I guess.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
I
get it. I thought it could have been a better production. Could have gotten bigger stars. I mean, they had bigger stars at that Paul Askin fight.
Oh,
you know,
well, they paid them
there,
a lot of money to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe nobody wanted to go to Cleveland, I guess.
Yeah, I think
all right, last one
right.
here. Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy, and the Bears got their new face of their franchise in Justin Fields on Thursday night, and fans in Chicago are pumped about the blockbuster trade that made it happen. Here's, you know, you saw the reaction on social media. For the most part, people are just thrilled, and they're, like, going crazy and couldn't be happier. Here's a text from my dad from earlier. Okay. He lives in Chicago, and he said, "This town is going crazy. Justin Fields is already in the Hall of Fame here. They're so pumped, it's unbelievable. He's been on every radio and every TV show, and he seems like he's pumped up, too. They're calling it Justin Fields Day, officially, in Chicago."
Wow.
But, you know, we've seen this movie before in Chicago. Mitch Trubisky rings some bells. Do you think that Fields is the franchise-changing quarterback that the Bears have been searching for? Swipe left or swipe right?
Yes, he is. He can do it all. And in this day and age, not only can he throw, he can extend plays with his legs, and he's coming in with an attitude because you saw when he was drafted how ticked off he was that he fell all the way to 11. So he's going to come out with an attitude. I'm going to show everybody who passed the other nine picks what a big mistake they made. So I think they got themselves a winner.
John, what do you think?
Fields, I was surprised he lasted as long as he did. Weren't you guys?
Shocked.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Can't believe Denver didn't draft him.
Like, yeah, that's what I was saying too, Michael, that somebody would have moved up to grab him, somebody that needed a quarterback.
Yep.
I was surprised that the Bears front office normally screws everything up, but
right.
I thought that was a really good move.
Yeah, I'll say this. I feel comfortable with Trevor Lawrence becoming a franchise quarterback. Those other four guys, two of them are going to be total and complete flops.
Yeah.
I don't know which
that's
ones.
That's almost a statistical certainty.
Yeah, Michael, don't you think two of them will be flops and two of them will be franchise quarterbacks?
I don't think so. I think Lance has a ton of upside. Like, he reminds me of a younger Mahomes. Mac Jones looks like he's going to be the prototypical pocket accurate passer, cerebral. And the only one I'm worried about is Zach Wilson. Is he going to be everything they say he is? The other three guys, I think they're going to be solid.
Yeah, I
Michael,
say it's – go ahead, Lynch.
Were you more surprised that Lance got drafted where he was?
Yeah.
Or Fields or even Wilson?
Lance, because I thought San Francisco was going to make the mistake of drafting Mac Jones, because that's all we were hearing about how Mac Jones was the guy that Shanahan liked.
They smoke screen that pretty
yeah,
good.
Yeah, they
Everybody
sure did.
Thought they were taking
they,
Mac Jones.
Yeah, they had me sold. I was shocked when Lance's name came up.
Yeah. Look, quarterback evaluation is like the trickiest thing in the world, and it requires a fair amount of luck to just get the right guy, because you don't know what somebody's makeup is until you see him on an NFL field. You don't know what kind of leader he is until you see him on an NFL field. And you also want a guy that is a good representative of your franchise. I don't think you know any of that from the quarterback evaluations that get done. I mean, I was there for the Carson Wentz, Jared Goff draft 1-2. They both flopped. So I think it's completely unpredictable. I say two of them will be great and two of them will be disasters. And who knows, on Fields, could be either one. All right, there you have it. There is your fast track Radio Tinder for today. Thank you very much, Lindsay. Coming up next for you, LeBron is possibly going to play tonight.
He's back, baby!
We've got the very latest. Plus, what's wrong with the Dodgers? They've lost 8 of 11. Got an interesting email on that subject. Coming up next, you can always reach the show, 877-710-ESPN. You can tweet us at Venice Mace, M-A-S-E, at L.A. Ireland, or you can IG me at Venice Mace. Because that's what we do. We IG me at Venice Mace. And, of course, you can email the show, venicemace@gmail.com. Mace in Ireland, 710 ESPN.